international finance law and the Eurobond market. We want to understand the nature and content of Eurobond law. What we're specifically looking at are loans and bonds, the distinction, differences, how we can compare the two, and the relative advantages and disadvantages in each market. We're looking at the structures, parties and documentation. We're looking at issue procedure. We're looking at special issues and special terms, and then we'll draw some final comments and conclusions. This is one of the earliest bonds. It's a Dutch East India bond from 1623. Although debt instruments of this form go way back to Mesopotamian times, 4,000, 5,000, possibly 6,000 BC. This is an early Bank of England banknote, one of the handwritten banknotes. This is a new form of UK government bond. This is Treasury stock. This is 6.5%, $1,000 stock. This is the American Treasury Department. That was the UK Treasury, who borrows on behalf of the government. The borrowings actually managed through the UK Debt Management Office. This was earlier carried out by the Bank of England, then it was transferred to the Debt Management Office. This is the United States Treasury, which is responsible for the US debt. This, for example, is a Treasury bill. This is a short bill. Bills are under 1 year. Specifically, this is a October 69, April 1970. So this is a 6 month bill worth $100,000. This one, this is a bond. This is a $1 million bond. What's the duration on this? It's a 5 year bond. This is a $1 million 5 year bond. This is how the American government borrows money to support all its activities, other than those which are covered through taxation. Difference between loans and bonds. How can we compare the two? We can look at this in terms of issue and sale formality, documentation complexity, transferability, credit control, default, and recovery. Loans simple, bonds complex, loans simple and single agreement, bonds multiple documentation, loans limited transferability, legal assignment, equitable assignment, novation, participation, sub-participation. We can also create parallel interest through trust and securitization. Credit control, very substantial amount of control set out in the contractual provisions, set out in the loan documentation, much more limited control exercised through the parallel provisions in the bond documentation. Default and recovery, again, substantial control to allow the banks to protect their credit risk, the risk of counterparty default. In the bond case, we don't need the same degree of protection. If the investor is satisfied with the conduct of the company, it simply sells the bond and moves on. Generally, what will happen is if you have higher and good credit standing, you can borrow more at a cheaper rate at a lower coupon on the bond, the capital markets, than you can on the banking markets. If you don't have a good credit standing, you go to banking markets. If there's any other element of complexity, higher risk element, or additional credit assessment has to be exercised, you go to the banking market. But otherwise, you will generally use the capital markets, and for larger amounts, you use long bonds, 20 years plus. Shorter term instruments, you can look at medium term notes, 5 to 10 years. Shorter instruments again, euro notes, 1 to 3 years. And then possibly commercial paper up to 12 months. In terms of operational differences, we can understand and compare loan transactions and bond transactions, looking at disclosure requirements, documentation, advance of funds, currency conversion, interest, repayment, voluntary prepayment, margin protections, payments and equality, warranties, covenants, events of default, modifications, transfer prescription and governing law. All of this is summarised in the slides. It's dealt with in further detail in the table and the papers provided. You've got an outline table, outline structures, as well as full chapter and some sample documentation provided as well. The deals themselves, in the bond markets, we have private placements, we have preliminary prospectus offerings, we have impact day offerings. With a private placement, it's a limited size deal whereby we're selling directly to a small, dedicated, specific, usually predetermined group of institutional investors. All of the large investment firms, investment banks, will have large lists of potential buyers at any time that they can approach. So long as you stay within the limited numeric restrictions within the different promotion laws in New York or in London or in Hong Kong or in El markets where you don't trigger larger securities and listing issues specifically, so we can go for these private placements. Sometimes they're also called bought deals, when the arranging bank doesn't bring in a selling group or an arranging group, it simply manages the whole issue itself. If it's a medium-sized deal, what very often will simply happen is the arranging bank will just undertake to buy the bonds or the notes directly from the issuer and sell them on into the markets. We call that a bought deal. That is a form of private placement whereby we're only selling to a small limited group of professional or higher quality market counterparties or investors. Therefore, we don't trigger listing particulars, listing rules and other securities provisions. A preliminary prospectus offering, we prepare a draft prospectus which we make available in the market to try and gauge the market appetite so that we can more effectively determine the price and the coupon. We're going to set the price of the bond at par or at premium above or at discount below. If we want to make it attractive for tax purposes, we can have a deep discount bond where we sell at a substantial discount to 30% possibly the face value. What that means is this: you sell the bond at 30% discount, so you're effectively rolling up all the interest into the price of the bond, which you will pay on redemption in 5 or 10 years. What that means is that the investor doesn't pay any tax receiving the interest payments each year during the duration of the instrument. This is usually sold for institutional investors, in particular pension funds, who want long-term investments, long-term assets, and don't need the immediate early income. The preliminary prospectus offering, we then set the price. So the price, is it par, premium above, or discount, and then the coupon. So we determine the two together. If the price goes up, the coupon, depending how we adjust the price, we can also reset the coupon so that we get an attractive market offer, an attractive market deal. We use the preliminary offer prospectus to try and gauge market interest and price this in advance. Otherwise, we can go for a straight impact of the offerings, where the investment firm, in negotiation with the client, will advise price, coupon, everything's determined, and then there's an announcement and a closing. In terms of the parties, we have the managers, we have the underwriters, we have the selling group. We can have 3 to 12 managers, which will arrange the issue. We have the selling group who are going to place the issue, and then if any amount isn't fully sold in the market, the underwriters come in and purchase up anything that's left. We will possibly have a trustee if it's a large issue. If we have a trustee, we only then need a fiscal paying agent. If there's no trustee, we need a fiscal paying agent, because we then create a form of trust in the fiscal agency agreement, so that any funds can be held on trust on behalf of the bondholders. In terms of documentation, because there's more parties, we'd have more documents. So we'll have the prospectus or the offering circular. This parallels the information memorandum in the loan deal. The question simply is whether we're going to have a listing, which is a public offering, in which case we have to satisfy prospectus and listing particulars. Otherwise, it's just an offering circular, which will be very similar to the information memorandum we had in the loan deal. If it's a prospectus or listing particulars, then we have to comply with all of the relevant requirements. It's not a problem, it's just it takes a little bit longer, and you have to plan for this in terms of your work allocation managing the deal. The subscription agreement is entered into between the managers or the one lead manager and the issuer. The manager undertakes to purchase, place the bonds, notes of paper in the market and ensure that they're sold so that the issuer receives the full payment. Depending upon the size, the manager will then enter into the other sub-agreements as well. So if it's a big issue, the manager will then appoint separate selling group agents, so with a selling agreement, and then if all of the bonds, notes of paper cannot be sold through the selling group, we will have the underwriters who will come in and buy up any residual amounts. We will then have the trustee. The trustee is acting as trustee on behalf of the bond holders, so the trustee enters into the trust deed with the issuer directly. The lead bank's not involved. This is usually the largest, most complex document In practice, this could be 100, 200 pages, although it's almost always on standard terms. You will become very familiar with this very quickly. So although it's the largest document by far, you'll be able to read through it very quickly and just identify whether there's any specific negotiation points which may have to be considered. We will either have an agency agreement or a fiscal agency agreement, depending upon whether we have a trustee. If we have a trustee, we only need a paying agency agreement. If there's no trustee, we need a fiscal paying agency agreement. We then have the global bond. What will happen is the timetable will usually take around 4 weeks. Because we cannot usually print the definitive bonds in that time, we will create one total global bond, the TGB. The TGB represents all the other bonds until the definitive bonds are printed. In practice, we also have this issue under TEFRA, which is the American tax law, so there'll be a 40-day hold-up period which gives the manager time to report to the American authorities whether or whether or not any Americans have purchased the bonds. The American authorities do not like bearer bonds, they like registered bonds, so they know the group, they know the identity of all the holders of the bonds for money laundering, anti-terrorist financing, as well as for taxation purposes. Under the TEFRA, we have to notify whether there's any American acquirers. We have a 40-day lockdown period. During that period, the bond issue will solely be represented by the single TGB, temporary global bond, which will then be replaced by the definitive notes after the 40-day lockdown. In practice, the bonds, if they're physical, will then be delivered automatically to the two custodians, Euroclear and Clearstream. Euroclear in Brussels, Clearstream in Luxembourg. All transactions are then simply carried out across the accounts of these institutions or across the bridge, the optic bridge between the two custodians. In practice, the investors never see the bonds. They are immobilized for security reasons principally. And the custodians will actually exercise voting rights, claim interest payments, claim coupon payments, exercise any other entitlements. In modern issues, we now very often simply dematerialize anyway. So there isn't even a physical bond, but what will happen again is you'll have the 40-day lockdown period, and then the final bonds, the dematerialized bonds, are automatically delivered electronically to Euroclear and Clearstream. In terms of issue procedure, we have the lead manager obtaining the initial mandate, preparing the documentation, draft documentation, circulation, putting the parties together, collective comments, and generally ensuring that everything stays within the relevant timetable. We have a launch date, we send the invitational telexes, invitation to participate. The managers and issuers will agree the coupon and the price. The managers and issuers will sign the subscription agreement, which legally obliges the lead bank to ensure that the issue proceeds and that the issuer receives the funds required. We'll have a final prospectus, will be dispatched. We agree the selling group, we enter into the trust deed separately, we'll confirm the listing and admission to listing on the stock exchange, as well as the two listings, so it's admission to listing to sell to the general public and then admission to listing on a particular stock exchange. We'll then at the closing, we'll deliver any other documents, a final signature and execution, and there'll be an exchange of the funds by the lead bank, transfer funds to the issuer. We then have the lockdown. We make the temporary global bond available on the closing, and we have the lockdown period for 40 days, after which it's replaced by the definitive notes. In terms of special issues which can arise, we have stabilisation. What will happen is an immediate grey market will be created in the bonds during the 40-day period, even before people have seen them in the market, and then the further 40-day lockdown period. So you can have an 80-day grey market before the bonds are actually available. Because people are buying and selling during this period, the managers want to stabilise the price on the closing so they can actually buy and sell in the market. While this may otherwise constitute a form of market abuse or market manipulation, we can do this on legal terms under the price stabilisation rules. So we'll have price stabilisation measures, and provided the manager's compliance stay within the terms of those, they can basically adjust the price, adjust the market, so that they can have a safe, stable closing and a final bringing to the market of the relevant bonds and notes. Listing, as we've said, you apply for listing to the listing authority when we're selling to the general public, and then separately you apply to a specific stock market for admission to its particular exchanges. So we make two separate applications. Listing in the United Kingdom used to be managed by the London Stock Exchange, although when the London Stock Exchange demutualised and effectively became a public limited company and sold its own shares in itself on its own market, it was decided that listing would no longer be appropriate. So listing was transferred to the Financial Services Authority, which FSA, under the Financial Services and Markets Act 2000, which then becomes the Financial Conduct Authority after the global financial crisis and the Financial Services Act 2012. So listing is now managed by the FCA, and then you'll also apply for separate listing for admission to trading on a particular stock market, whether it's London, New York, or Luxembourg, or elsewhere. Negotiability of bonds. There's a number of important case law which establish the law of negotiability under English law. Goodwin versus Roberts, Picker versus London and County, Eggleston versus Schuller, Buchanan Land Exploration, London Joint Stock Bank. The key point simply is this: who determines whether an instrument is negotiable? The market does. The courts will then respect what the market concludes. This is generally decided in terms of the volume and frequency of trading on the markets. You'll see Goodwin versus Roberts. Russian government scrip issue was held negotiable, but Prussian bonds were not held negotiable, Picker versus London County. It's all a matter of market practice. What's the benefit of negotiability? Negotiability means that you buy something and acquire perfect title, so long as only you had no notice of any prior defect in title. So even if the bonds are stolen, or there's some other imperfection, or any other damage to the title in any way, so long as you have no notice of that, you acquire and you pay proper consideration, you will obtain perfect title. So this is very valuable, very useful in this market. Governing law of negotiability is generally considered in terms of chattels, where the location of the bonds are, where it's physical, or deemed physicality in connection with the dematerialized securities. And then the clearing systems, we've already mentioned, you have Euroclear and Clearstream. Almost all of the euro bond deals are done across the accounts of these two custodians. All of the largest banks and securities firms have accounts. Smaller banks and firms will deal with the bigger account firms who've already got the accounts. We can also look at the terms of bonds, and we can understand them in terms of just various key provisions. What's in the face of the bond? The promise to pay. Fiscal relations agreement provides for express incorporation to another deal. Form and transfer, bearer bonds, transferring by delivery. Covenants, very limited, very restricted. There will be a pari passu clause, but it's only for unsecured and right pari passu with other similar capital market instruments. Negative pledge will be limited to compatible securities. Information covenants restricted to annual accounts and listing. Interest can be fixed, floating, zero coupons, as we've already mentioned. Redemption can either be bullet or single payment, by installments as a form of amortization, or we can set up a purchase fund where the agent will buy bonds back in from the market. We can have perpetual bonds which are only redeemable on default, in the event of default. We can have some voluntary redemption, but in accordance with a sliding premium. Any redemption is not encouraged, although it will be available in connection with a withholding. There's generally no restrictions on purchase issuers buying their own bonds. There's always controls on buying equity, but not bonds. There'll be specific provisions on payments, on prescription. Events of default are narrow, but still significant, and I've listed those there. Acceleration, we will restrict rights through no action clauses if we have a trustee, because we don't want lots of bondholders trying to execute exercise, because that could destroy the quality and longer term market value of the issue. And then governing law and jurisdiction clauses as standard. That is the international bond market. And with this, we can understand how we can either raise funds either in the loan market or the bond market. As we've said before, we can compare the two sets of facilities. If there's any element of complication or additional risk assessment or lower credit standing, we will go to the bank market. Otherwise, we can raise more funds at a finer rate coupon, lower cost in the capital markets. The history of the capital markets is then one of longer duration, becoming shorter and shorter and shorter through euro notes, medium term notes, down to commercial paper, from 12 months all the way down to possibly 5 days. These are very useful markets. These are very important markets. These allow all of the countries in the world, all of the governments in the world, and all of the companies in the world to borrow very substantial purposes for any legitimate commercial reason at any legitimate time. They provide a very important continuing rolling function in all countries, all societies, and all communities.